Okay, Roy Saif, after a few weeks of interruption, it seems to get hard to get started again. All right. Before we get to the continuing the Sefer Shaarei Avodah, there's a few other points that we like to make in different areas of Rabbeinu Yonah, because there's so much Torah, there's so much thought, there's so much machshava, there's so much hashkofa that Rabbeinu Yonah teaches in all areas, whether it's halacha, whether it's hashkofa, chedushim al hashas, and so on. We say one of the greatest Rishonim. As we mentioned many times, that Rabbeinu Yonah was titled by his peers as Rabbeinu Yonah HaChosid. You can imagine all Rishonim were on the highest level of Chassidus and piety and in Tzidkus and so on, and yet among his peers Rabbeinu Yonah is being classified, being titled as Rabbeinu Yonah HaChosid. And of course, as we know, he wrote the Sefer Shaarei Tshuva, something, a Sefer that we did a number of years ago. And just one, a few couple of lines. Rabbeinu Yonah talks about that many times a person who basically conducted himself, behaved in a way for many, many years and led a certain lifestyle. And then when he decides, let's say, to make a change, to make a turnaround, a person very often comes to the idea and to the notion that how am I able to change after having so much baggage behind me, having such a negative history, to put it mildly, in my, all the things that I've done, and all the terrible things that he understands that he did, how am I able really now to turn around and what we say, what we call with a simple word called tshuva? So Yehuda says the following. He says that Odom Asher Poshe V'Choto, a person basically who had sinned, and now he wants to come and basically come under the wings of the Shechina, will he call his bedakei tshuva, wants to enter the path of tshuva. But Yehuda is very simple. Askilcha, he says, I'll teach you, I'll give you a seichel. He says, then I will teach you derech zu teilech. This is the way to do it. And the way to do it is quite simple. It's attitude. By Yom Ahu, he says, the day that you decide that you want to do tshuva, do it. Yashlich, he says, kol pishov asher oso, just throw behind you. Throw behind you, in other words, erase in your mind, even though actually it was done. But that is the tremendous gift of tshuva, is that a person is able to throw behind him his whole history. Yashlich kol pishov asher oso, the yasa atzmei kilubaybi abnoyla. Imagine yourself you've been born today. That is actually the power of tshuva. In the same way, if one can imagine, by an extreme situation, if someone really, who was born into a different religion, right, wants to become a ger, right? So what happened with the fact that he was a Gentile all his life? The answer, when you become a ger, you become actually transformed as if you're born. In halacha, it's called ger sheniskaya kikot nanoiludomi. A ger that becomes converted is actually like newly born. It's not just a change of religion. But it becomes transformed. You know how far it goes? According to halacha, the rabbanon don't allow it. But according to the Din Torah, it's an incredible thing to behold. A ger, someone who converts, is newly born, which means it severs all biological relationships. It's an incredible thing, which means to say is that his mother was a Gentile mother. He's now Jewish, he's transformed. According to the halacha of the Torah, if she would become a megayer also, he could marry his mother. Wow. Why? Because both have been newly born. It's an incredible thing to show what kind of a transformation actually takes place when somebody becomes a ger. Rabbeinu Yonah says the same ideas in tshuva, the same, not to that extent. But the idea of tshuva is that a person becomes like newly born. And that should be the attitude of a person. And if you're newly born, it means that you have, by the way, no credits either. If you have no debits, then you have no credits either. You have to imagine ki'ilu. You do have. The mitzvahs you still have. But regarding the averis, but you have to imagine in your mind you're newly born. And as far as you're a newly born person, so therefore you look ahead to the future. You don't look behind you. And that is the only way that a person will be able to do to understand that he'd been newly born. And therefore he realized that whatever was, that it should not affect his new way, his new road that he plans to charter in his life. And that's the cloud. The cloud, the first fundamental in the area of tshuva and all this form that they talk about, it is not to look back. It's the now. Now is a new beginning. The new beginning is that everything that happened before is as if it never happened before. Just imagine it's not here. And the truth is, you don't have to be a great, you know, Bucky and Digduk. We say Hashem Melech, which means present. Hashem is king. Hashem Moloch, he was king. Hashem Miloch, he will be. Right? So usually, you know, the way it starts is the first is the past, then there's a present, then there's a future. We always say Hoyo, he was, Hoyo, he is, here. You should say Hashem Moloch, he was, Hashem Melech now, and Hashem Yimloich. Doesn't say that. It starts with a now. Hashem Melech now. Then he goes back and saying Hashem Melech. He was a king, right? And then we say Hashem Yimloich. The answer is when a person wants to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominance upon himself, you can't start looking back at what was and say, okay, I'm trying to change the past. No, the past, leave the past alone. Because if you start worrying about the past, you may never move forward. So first thing about now, Hashem Melech, Hashem is king over me now. Don't think about how to change the past. And once you are successful, you succeeded in accepting Hashem, now Hashem Melech, then said the Slonim Rebbe, the Alter Slonim Rebbe, not the Nesiv Sholem, then it's Hashem Melech. Then you can start saying, okay, you know what? I like to erase my past and so on and so forth, and Hashem is king over me as if it were also in the past, and certainly in the future, Hashem Yimloich L'Yoylem Vod. That's the Nekuda. This is the road of Shuvah. Person should imagine he's newly born. There was no past. As far as he's concerned, it's all about the now. Another situation that we find, and that is, we know the Mishnah says in Ovis that the mitzvah gereris, mitzvah naveira gereris aveira. We simply translate it means you do a mitzvah begets another mitzvah. If a person does a mitzvah, what happens is one mitzvah will lead him to do another mitzvah. And if you do an aveira, a person who sins, one sin will just lead to another one. In other words, a person should not imagine I do a sin, it will be in isolation. No. Because a sin begets a sin, and a mitzvah begets a mitzvah. How does it work? So then it says, the Goyin of Goyin mentions it in his writings, but the truth is it's already with Ben Yonah. And Ben Yonah says in Masechta Sovos, Ben Yonah says the following. He said, because when a person does a mitzvah, you create an aura of Kedusha, of holiness. A mitzvah is not just an act, it creates an atmosphere. Because a mitzvah is something which is a divine commandment. As a result, being that it's a divine commandment, so it's like a remote control, like when you push a button and things happen. When a person does a mitzvah, it's not just you did an act. But when you're doing that act of mitzvah, it actually brings kedusha, it brings holiness in your atmosphere. And if a person is surrounded by holiness, that itself now is motivated because holiness seeks holiness. You have now become in an atmosphere of holiness, and that, so it's a ruach of kedusha that's created. The ruach of kedusha that you mitzvah, so you do a mitzvah, it's not just a mitzvah that you did, but the mitzvah creates a ruach of kedusha, and that ruach of kedusha therefore motivates you. Like somebody, again, I say lahamdul, somebody eats something, right, and enjoys the food, so the first bite leads him that he should want to have enough, enjoy the first bite, so he's motivated to take a second bite. As many people say, you know, it says the appetite comes with the eating. Sometimes you had no, once you took the first bite, oh, I might as well have more, you know, that's the way it goes. So, and that's the way. So when you do a mitzvah, the mitzvah creates an atmosphere of kedusha. That atmosphere of kedusha already you are become so like attached, and you're motivated, you're driven in a positive way to want to do another mitzvah. And the opposite is also true. When you do an aveira, you create, it's not just an aveira, you create an atmosphere of tumah, of impurity. And that atmosphere, when you are surrounded by atmosphere of impurity, that itself drives you further to continue on that same path. So that's really what Rabbi Yonah says. And he said that later, many years later, the Vilna Goyim also writes it. But interesting thing, it's Rabbi Yonah himself, which is in Masechta Sovos. So it's time to moving along. I think we should get to the Shari Havoidah to be able to cover what we want to cover. And what we're here at this segment where we are in in Ben Yoyna is in Yor Ben Yoyna. It's on Daf Chov Gimel. Can you give it a safer? Okay, thank you. I think I'm going to go ahead. Actually, okay, you can have this one. It's fine. Okay, Daf Chov Gimel Tezayin in the bottom. Daf Chovov, excuse me. Daf Chovov is Tezayin. You're going to find paragraph Tezayin. All right? Now, there has been quite a bit of a break, as we had quite a number of weeks due to Yom Tovim and Simchis and Chassid and so on and so forth. In the past, Rabbi Yoyna actually went through which discussing, you know, his Ashkofe, his way of explaining the whole idea of the Nisoyin of the Akedah of Rav Avinu's Nisoyin. And ultimately, we find out that, of course, that the idea was not so much of Rav Avinu's, from his vantage point, the test was not asking a father right? Asking the Father to sacrifice a son from Avinu hearing from Hashem to do that, or anybody who could hear directly from Hashem, that wouldn't be the major test. The major test was the philosophical problems behind it. And among the philosophical problems behind it was because on the one hand Hashem promised them that his legacy would be through Yitzchak, and here now is being asked to shecht Yitzchak, which means therefore it's going to end. So how's the promise of Hashem going to be able to come true if on the one hand Hashem said, yes, your legacy is going to continue generation after generation from Yitzchak, and now if he's going to shecht him, so that'd be a major problem, major question. But the greatness of Avraham Avinu was that he put all questions aside, nothing. That he surrendered totally to the will of Hashem. That was the way Rabbi Yonah explained it. And Rabbi Yonah now goes on to say further. Okay? Valderach, he says, Valderach hazeh, in the same vein. In the same vein means to say, is in the same vein, that Avraham Avinu was asked to surrender, right, to the will of Hashem. In the same way, he says, is actually, Avodas HaKarbonas, Avodas HaTfilah. The whole Avodah, when we had a Beis Hamikdash, the Avodah of the Karbonas, and the Avodah HaTfilah is also in the same vein. So we stop here for a moment. Meaning to say, quite simply, and he goes on to elaborate, but we want to just explain it a little bit deeper, we should see. It means as follows. One of the editions of Shaar Avodah, actually one of the earliest editions of Pirushim that were written, is of Binyamin Zilber Bnei Brak, the Chen of Rocha. Binyamin Zilber was the one who published the Shaar Avodah of Ben Yoina, and also he wrote a Pirush, not an extensive Pirush, but from time to time he offered some of his own explanations. So Binyamin Zilber there explains, and he says that when Ben Yoina says, in the same vein of what? In the same vein as the Akedah, always, the whole idea of bringing a carbon and the idea of davening, it means it follows on the aspect of the Akedah. How? What does davening have to do with the Akedah? Your own davening, your davening, my davening, anybody's davening. Bringing a carbon, bringing a sacrifice, what's got to do with the Akedah? So Binyamin Zilber, in his Hagoyas, he says that possibly what Rabbi Yoin is referring to is the opinion of the Ramban, who disagrees totally with the Ramban, but what's the whole purpose of Karbonis? Which is not the time now to go into, because that's not a major situation. But there's many, many different of opinions that are offered. What's the idea of bringing a carbon? You take an animal, you shecht it, and you sprinkle the blood and all the particular dinim and halachis. What's the purpose of it? So the Rambam has his opinion. The Rambam disagrees with it. Rambam disagrees with it, and Rambam said the idea is when a person sins, imagine, a person who sins against, not just broke the law, bad enough, not just sinning against, right, defying the words of the king who is the boss of Adam, but against the Melech Malcham Lochem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whatever is done to the animal, the person should imagine that maybe that should have been done to him, but Hashem, by the grace of Hashem, said, you know what, watch what's happening to the animal, shechting the animal, the blood which is the essence, right, of the life, and was sprinkled on the Mizbeach and so on. Imagine all these things would have been done to you. So the idea is a person, therefore, which means he totally commits himself. It's as if, in other words, the imagination is as if he would be sacrificed. The idea of bringing a carbon, says the Ramban, that every aspect of the avodah that's done to a carbon, a man should imagine. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, by the grace of Hashem, said, no, I'm not demanding your life, don't give me your life, don't. But imagine what the consequences could have been, or maybe even should have been. What could have been or should have been. And therefore the idea of a carbon is basically a person should come to the realization that whatever happens, so it's not just a magical formula. Okay, bring a carbon, right, and your chet, your aveir is absolved. What is this kind of thing? Bring a carbon. You do the sin and you bring a carbon. You bring a sacrifice and this. No. The idea is that when the person comes and he brings that carbon, that he should stand there, right, and should bring him to a high level of shuv, of repentance, because he imagines whatever is being done to the animal, that could have been him. That could have been him. So in that sense, every person is bringing is involved in an Akedah. He's sacrificing. Like we had by the Akedah, Abraham was supposed to sacrifice Yitzchak. So the idea of Karbonis is also like that. The idea of Karbonis is also like that, is also like an Akedah. In other words, you're bringing yourself in a certain sense to the Akedah, by imagining that whatever is happening to a Karbon should have happened to you. And the same idea as well, when Rabbi Yonah says, Avodas HaTfilah, the davening also has a shaykhis to the Akedah, because what is davening? Davening again is not just merely opening up a siddur, right, and just speaking to Hashem. Davening basically means is that a person is standing before Hashem understanding understanding that whatever takes place, whatever he needs, the only way to get it is because it is through the grace of Hashem. And even though the way Hashem created the world, that there is what appears to be nature, yeah, you have to do your shtadlus. You can't just sit back like that. But through the shtadlus, Hashem gives the bracha into whatever you are doing. So you have to do your shtadlus, you have to do whatever you have to do, according to the Derech HaTeva, whatever. But Hashem will, and even the eights that come to your mind, you know, maybe you should make this phone call. You think that you thought of it. But it's really, Hashem puts into your mind, right, the right things, and therefore you made the right telephone call, you made the right appointment, and you succeeded. And if it was not in the cards, then Hashem wants you to fail for some reason, but you don't deserve to be successful. So again, these ideas are also put into your mind by Hashem. So when the person davens, he understands the word, that he's totally dependent on Kodesh Baruch Hu. Give me health, Rafa'enu, Baruch Aleinu, give me bracha, Slach Lonu. You have to give it to me, because you are the source of everything. You're the source of all blessing. You're the source of everything. So, and again, so the idea is when you daven, the person basically gives of himself totally to Hashem. That's also a form of an akedah. It's also, by the way, the Nefesh HaChaim. That's basically the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim Veloshim, which he points out. Because the truth is, if you think about it, what is the Nefesh? A person gives his Nefesh, gives his soul. The power of speech, by the way, comes from the Neshama. Because speech is a spiritual component. Yeah, I mean, you have the physical tongue to do it. But the whole power of speech, it comes from the Ruach. It's a spiritual thing. Speech is a spiritual thing. As the Pesuk says, Vayihi ha'odom l'nefesh chaya, Hashem blew. Right, the yipach ba'apov nishmas chaim, Hashem blew the neshama into his nostrils. What happened after that? What does the pasuk say? That he hodol nefesh chaya literally means a man became a living being. What does the Targum say? Leruach mamalo, he became a person with the ability to speak. The neshama gave the person the ability to speak. So therefore, it's the neshama, the power of dibur comes from the neshama. When a person davens, he uses the power of dibur, which basically emanates from the nefesh. That's the nefesh chaya, that's the ruach memalolo. So when a person daven in a certain sense, the idea is that he gives his nefesh over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a form of an akedah also. It's another form of an akedah. So now, okay, that was the first line. And he goes on to say again, in the same vein, Valderach Hazeh, he said in the same vein as the akedah, is avodas hakorbanos, and also he says avodas hatfilah. What is the basic rule of serving Hashem? What is the basic rule of serving Hashem? So the chayk is nivra ba'olam hazeh ki'im la'avodas b'roi. Person has to review that over and over again. He came to this world for one purpose, that's to serve Hashem. Yes, you have to eat and you have to drink, but all of these things, all the physical things that you go through, ultimately is to be able to serve Hashem. Kamo shenema, as the pasuk says. Pesuk says in Parshas Ekev, "V'ato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach." What does Hashem want from you? Well, Hashem wants from you Kim Le'ira, to fear Him. And as mentioned many times, Rabbi Yoyin does not bring down the whole pasuk. Right? What's the rest of that pasuk? Let's repeat again. "V'ato Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoel Mimach, Kim Le'ira Es Hashem Elokecha." Doesn't bring that ending. Kim Le'ira Es Hashem Elokecha Lelechez B'chol Derochov La'Hava Oysoi. Right? U'La'Void Es Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levavcha B'chol. That's what Hashem is asking for you. That's what Hashem asks from you. Amen. The Pesuk says, "Lishma is mitzvah Hashem." Right? In order to keep and to abide by the mitzvah Hashem. Amen. And the Pesuk says further, the Pesuk says, "Ushmartem," says the Pesuk, "Ushmartem ishmati." Make sure that you safeguard the charges that you are charged with. Man is charged with missions. Man is charged with a mission, and that is to keep the Tariq Mitzvahs, to behave properly, b'norom alokim, b'norom chaveroi. So the Torah exhorts man, u'shmarti mishmarti, make sure that you safeguard all the charges that you have before you. But the other one, then there's another posik. And then posik is Kehelis, Shlom HaMelech, Rechocha Mikolodom. Right? How's he signed off Kehelis? How's Kehelis signed off? Es Elokim Yirah, Yefir Hashem, there's the mitzvah of Shemayim, you keep his mitzvahs. Kizek kol odom. What does it mean, kizek kol odom? That is the entire person. Kloima says, Ben Yoyne, ki bishvil zeh nivre kol odom. Ben Yoyne says, kizek kol odom means that it's because of this that man was created. The zuhi sibas yitzivas odom b'lo mazeh. A couple of months back, or maybe more than that, we have mentioned that what Rabbi Chaim Wasserman brings in, there's a chelik of, there's a sefer called Klevis Mamorim, which is different Mamorim of Rabbi Chaim. B'chonim was a Talmud of Chofetz Chaim, Talmud of Rav Shem Shkop, B'chonim was a Talmud of Rav Chaim Briske. And by the way, B'chonim was so medagdik, was so medaik in every word that the Chofetz Chaim said. Because sometimes, you know, when the Chofetz Chaim, because he spoke very, quite simply that people should understand. He spoke at a very simple level. So man speaking at a simple level, so he's speaking simply. But Rabbi Chanan was medayik in every word, which seemed to be just a very simple speech, because he spoke to common people, in order to teach them, to set them right in their ways. He spoke the language of the people, very simple, with a marshal, with a parable, and a story, and so on and so forth, to make the point. So there's a certain drasha Chofetz Chaim gave regarding a certain subject, I believe it was Shemir Shabbos or something. And then the Chofetz Chaim in a different place, he gave the similar drasha. B'chonon was by both. So someone who was also by both said to B'chonon, Chofetz Chaim says, I heard that drasha already. He already said it in the other place. B'chonon said that the Chofetz Chaim added an extra sentence that he didn't say over there. He was so madaik in every word of the Chofetz Chaim, he said. He added an extra sentence, he said. There's something new, very new, he said over here. So, Rochonon said, by the way, at the end of Kovasaurus, he says, Kizek Korodom. He says, well, you see from here, it's a Lakim Yireh. A person be Yerushimayim, you might remember the word, because it's a very, very penetrating word that Rochonon says, insight. It's a Lakim Yireh. You might think that Yerushimayim is a Mila. You know, if you have Yerushimayim, so good. So you have an extra Mila. You have an extra credit. You have an extra credit to your behavior. B'chonon says, you might think that if you have two people in front of you, one person, he says, is a Yerushimayim, and one person is not a Yerushimayim, so you'll say you have two people in front of you. The only difference is one has Yerushimayim, he has fear of heaven, one does not. This is not true. From this person, Kelly's, you know. A person that Yerushimayim is not an Odom. What is he? He's a living being. Like there's an animal world out there, right? There's insects, and he's not a living being. Why? Because what Mamela says, as a lekim yirav, is so kizek kol odom. That's what makes him into an odom. Otherwise, just a living being. You're a living being. You're not an odom. Your shemaim is not just an added thing that a person might have. Without your shemaim, you're not an odom. You're not an odom. You're just a living being. You may have physical features like a human being, fine, but you're not really an odom. And he goes on further to explain. Remember at the beginning of creation, when it says, Yom Elohim, it says plural. Hashem said, Nasodom, we will make man. Right? One of the most troubling psuk in the jab. There was only one creator. What's the plural? Nasa. It didn't say, Esa, I will make man. So Rashi himself right away comes. What does Rashi say? Nasodom, it means from here we learn, again, because Baruch teaches us middos, teaches us character traits, that a godel, someone who's greater, should not hesitate to seek counsel, ask the opinion of somebody who's even lower than you. When Hashem, before he created man, he took counsel from the malachim, as if he needed their counsel. But to teach mankind, I'm creating man now. So Hashem wanted to teach mankind how to behave. It's not always that you know everything. You have to be ready to hear what somebody else has to say. Even if you might be of a higher intelligence, but just because you have higher intelligence doesn't mean you're always right. And just because someone has less intelligence doesn't mean he can't teach you anything. Who's the true chacham? Who learns from everyone. Everyone has something to contribute that you may not have known. Quite simply, if you read this page, but not the other page, the other person read that page, he can teach you that page. No matter what kind of a chacham you are. So Mamela, Hakadosh Baruch Hu once said, Nasa plural means that Hashem, before he created man, he took counsel. Nimlach b'malochim. Okay. In the Medrash says another thing. This is what Bukhama says. It's a mind-boggling thing. What does the Medrash say? What's the Nasa Odom? Hashem is speaking. Man was created at the end. You realize? The animal world, the fish, everything. All the living creatures, from birds to fish to animals, all the living creatures were created before man. Man was created Erev Shabbos on a Friday. At the end of creation. So everything, right, everything living was created before man. So Hashem went over to this and said, Nasa Odom. Hashem went to all the living creatures and said, I want each of you to contribute something to man. In other words, he went over, just an example. Lion, give some of your character traits given to man. Wolf, elephant, snake, yeah, whatever it is. He went over to the entire world that was created. Nasawi, man is a composite of all the living creatures in one person. Whereas you have separate animals, separate creatures, right? You have millions of species, who knows how many there are. Man is a composite, he's like a puzzle. Man is a composite of every living being that there is, because every living being contributed what he is to man. Nasa means we, all of us. All of us, because all of the animal world, so to speak, contributes some of what they are to man. So man is partly lion, he's partly wolf, he's partly elephant, he's partly hippopotamus, he's partly. That's what man is. He has a chelik of everything. So Vachon says, if that's the case, then the wildest animal in the world is man. Because man has within himself chalokim and parts of all the different traits that any of the, what you find in the wild, man has part of everything. A lion is only a lion, he's not a wolf. A wolf is not a snake. But man is a snake, he's a wolf, he's a lion. So man, he says, is the wildest. Listen to this. Man is the wildest of all animals. And therefore, what do you do when you have a wild animal? When you have a wild animal, you have to keep it in chain. You have to chain it. Put it in a cage, you have to chain it. Man also needs a chain. What's the chain that controls man? Fear of God, Yerushalayim. That's the chain. If it is not of Yerushalayim, you can't control him. And that's what you see in the world today. If there's no Yerushalayim, man is capable to the greatest destruction that none, no wildest animal in the world has ever thought of, imagined, created such a structure, even thought about doing such a structure. An animal eats when it's hungry, but they're cloud usually. That's what it is. Human being can come up with a plan, I want to destroy half the world. I want to destroy a quarter of the world. Because man is the wildest animal. And he needs a chain. And that chain is only one chain. And that chain is Yerushalayim. You know, it's all the philosophy of ethics, all the philosophy you can teach man, all the, it's very nice. But what happens when push comes to shove, right? If I stand to gain, sometimes I commit murder. It's rationalized. It's a reason, man. And when we want to do mass destruction, you also rationalize it. It's better for the human race, whatever, to get rid of this type of people. It's all rationalized for the good, for the welfare. That's what it is. Because you are motivated by your own selfishness and by your negias that a person has. So the only thing, so therefore, that's what Rabbi says. As the lekim yiro, Yerushalayim kizeh kol odom. That is what makes you into a man. If not, he says, you're just a human, just a living being. You might as well be a wolf, you might be a lion. You're not an odom. Just a living being. And you're worse, you're a wilder living being, he says, wilder than any other animal that exists. Because man is a composite of all the animals put together. So what makes him into an odom, above the animals? As the lekim yiroh. He says, if you have your shemar, so much of shemar, kizeh kol odom. That makes the man. Without that, there's no two kinds of people. This kind and that kind. This is it. Yerushalayim, you're an odom. You don't know Yerushalayim, you're not an odom. That's the nekuda. In any case, so Ben Yonah says further, kizeh kol odom. So this is kol odom, he says, kloima, what it means, kizeh kol odom, ki bishvil zeh nivra kol odom. He types it differently. Kizeh kol odom means it's for the purpose of Yerushalayim. It's the purpose of Yerushalayim that Hashem created man. That is the sibah, as he said, that's the cause of Yisir Sodom Ba'olam Hazeh. Then he goes further, he said, kach omru, and Chazal have said in the Medrash, on the Posik, Vayomer Hashem Elohim. The Rebbein Shalom said, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Hein ho odom hoya ka'achad memeno. If you read this before eating from the Eitz Hadas, from the forbidden fruit, Hashem says, he eats from the forbidden fruit to become like one of us. What does it mean? To know what is good and what is evil. The Pasuk says, Hein ho odom hoya ka'achad memeno l'das toy v'ro. Now he begins, right, to understand the difference between good and bad. And again, now he has a Yesohar within him, as Rashi says, once he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he now has a Yesohar within that's going to drive him, he's going to give him a run for his money, and he's going to have a steady 24/7, he's going to have, right, this conflict and tension. His head says, this is right, right, this is wrong, but then his desires and his nature says, it's not important what my head says, it's what feels good. That's what I want to be doing. So that's continuous tension, right, between the emotion and between the mind. Intellect again goes down the drain if you haven't got a higher power controlling you. Because many people, many, all of them, Everybody knows really what's right, what's wrong. And yet why? The answer is because what? Because the desire, the nature of the desire overpowers and says, put the intellect aside. What's the difference does it make? I'll do it that feels good for me. And that was tenth again. That's the situation. We already mentioned. Once after Aristotle had a very lowly, as he said, a very lowly, a mushchazigah life. One of the greatest intellectuals. The Rambam writes about Aristotle tremendously. Rambam respected him as an intellectual, as a chocham. He calls him a chocham aristoi. Chocham aristo, he calls him. Tremendous intellectual. But his private life, you know, was very lowly behavior. In every area. So they asked him once, he said, Chocham like you, how's it shock that you behave in such a low way? So he said, I want to learn Chocham from the shoulders up, from the shoulders down. He said, no, I'm not Chocham. Chocham is from the shoulders up, shoulders down. He says, no Chocham. That's what it is. Okay. So now, so Zeh Shomer HaKosov, this is what the Pasuk is saying. Pasuk in Kehel, again going to Pasuk in Kehelis. Levad Re'ez Demasot Seshosa Lekimus Odom Yosher. Hashem said, I really created man to be proper. Which means, Loibora Kodesh Baruch Hu Sodom, Shenikra Tzadik V'Yosher B'Tzalma, Kodesh Baruch Hu was called the Tzadik V'Yosher. Kodesh Baruch Hu was called a righteous one and an upright. And Kodesh Baruch Hu was a Tzadik and a Yosher, created man in his image. Why did he create man in his image? That man should behave the same way, also righteous and upright. If man was created in the image of Hashem, Hashem is Tzadik V'Yosher. So Hashem is righteous and Hashem is upright. So why did Hashem create man in his image? So he said, the reason is, Elo Kedei, Shehei Tzadik V'Yosher Kemosai. The idea is that man should also follow in the same way, in the same path. So Mamela, so he goes further and he said, V'zeh Shomer HaKosev. And that in fact he said what the Pasuk is saying, U'boi Sid Bokum. The Pasuk says in Pashas Rei, again he brings that with sometimes just a snippet. The Pasuk says, Oysoi Tavoidu, right, Hashem you should serve, Uboi Sid Bokum, and in Hashem you should cleave. You should cleave to Hashem, become attached to Hashem. So what's the obvious question? Hashem is something that's not tangible. You can't even see Hashem. How do you cleave? How do you stick to something that you can't see? That's impossible. V'chiyef shel yodom, right? Chazal and Soita, the Gemara asks, is it possible for him to yidavik b'shchina? Is it possible for a person to actually cleave to the Shechina? How can a person become attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's not possible. What it means is cleaving to Hashem, follow in His ways, imitate His ways, emulate the ways of Hashem. El sheyeh lachodem bedrochov lihidomois elov, in order that you basically reflect what Hashem is. Your behavior should reflect what Hashem is. Mahu chanun af atotei chanun. Just like Hashem is gracious, you also should be gracious. Mahu rachum, right? Hashem has rachmonis, He has pity. Af atotei rachum. Mahu mavakir choylem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu visit the sick. Af atotei mavakir choylem. You also visit the sick. Mahu kaver meisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries the dead. Chesed Shalemis, by the way. Afu, af atotei kaver meisim. You also should do the same thing. And then he said something which is a fascinating thing. Okay, that's the emulate of Hashem. Now the second two lines can actually be interpreted two ways. The literal translation of the next line seems to say, just like Hashem created the world, you also create the world. Can I create the world? Yeah, we have to emulate to like Hashem. We have to follow the ways of Hashem. Well, Hashem created the world, right? So the next line seems to say, and as some interpret it that way, as we'll soon see the next line, that just like Hashem created the world, you also create the world. Now, how are you expected to create the world? Let's take a look. Mahu mamtzi esoilon, right? Hashem was mamtzi esoilon. He brought the world into existence. He was mamtzi esoilon. So you know what? Af ato tamtzienu. You should also be mamtzi the world. You should also bring the world into existence. Not only that, was kai menon. Maintain the world. Maintain the world. So what does that mean? What does it mean when we say, we can understand Mahu Racham Kodesh Baruch Hu is a Rachmanis, you should have Rachmanis. Right? On a human level, we can also, right? Kodesh Baruch Hu is gracious, he's Chanun, you can also be gracious. Right? We can do it within human capability, ability, we can do it. But what does it mean just like Hashem was Mamtzi Soilam? What does it mean you should be Mamtzi the Oilam? How are we supposed to bring the world into existence like Hashem did that? How we expect to do that? So one of the Perushim basically is, and that is, when we say Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mamtzi Soilam, and that is through Limud HaTorah. And that is through Limud HaTorah because Reb Chaim Volozhin, already taught us in Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, which also the Sefer that we learned a number of years ago, but he says this in Shah Dalut. The Nefesh HaChaim says that the Ikur Chiyus and Kiyum Olam, he says, is through Limud HaTorah, the fact that his Torah being learned somewhere in the world. Remember, Reb Chaim had a situation that 24 hours a day in Yeshiva and Volozhin there was by rotation. Torah had to be learned at all times, 24 hours a day. It's not the same people. Right, but went by rotation. But the idea was that the whole night and during the day, 24 hours a day, it was even Yom Kippur night, it was even not always. Because Reb Chaim said, because if there should be one place in the world at any given moment where there's no Torah being learned at all, the world would cease to exist. What's Mekayim the world, what gives the world the fuel of the world, that allows the world to exist, that gives the world the ability to exist, is the fact that Torah is being learned somewhere. And therefore, Reb Chaim wanted to do his share to guarantee that there's Torah being learned at all times. So listen to his yeshiva. So even let's say that no other place in the world, for some reason, would be a moment, be a dull moment somewhere in the world where nobody's learning, nowhere. In Volozhin, someone is learning Torah at all time. So being Reb Chaim said that Torah is Mekayim the world. So that's the idea. When the Rabbeinu Yonah said that we also should be Mamsiyas Olam, yes, because when a Yid learns Torah, he's actually giving power to creating the world. Because the world's being created every moment. As you know, that's also, by the way, that Nefesh HaChaim, Sha'al, Reb Chaim tells that also. HaMechadish B'Tuvah Yechayim Tovim. Reb Chaim tells that Kadosh Baruch Hu recreates the world every moment. Every moment is really newly created. It's not that Hashem created the world, you know, thousands of years ago. You know, and it's here today because it was created then. Every moment Hashem creates the world of new. And if Hashem would stop, then the world would cease to exist. We say it in the davening, HaMechadish B'Tuvah, HaMechadish renews, B'chol Yom Tomid. Tomid means every moment. Tomid means every moment. So therefore, if Hashem creates the world every moment, so the world has to have reason to be created every moment. And that's the Eisek HaTorah, that's learning Torah. So when I learn Torah, you learn Torah, anybody learns Torah, at any time that you learn Torah, you at that time are being Mamsi the Olam. You're being Mamsi the world. Because in order for the world to be created, there has to be Torah being studied. So that's one way of understanding. That's one way of understanding that just like Hashem is Mamsi Soylan, he brings about the world into existence. So you also should do the same thing. But there's also another explanation. Ben Yair is not saying we expect you to also create the world, even though we said you have the ability through Eisek HaTorah. It's another world. Hashem Mamsi Soylan means something else, not just that Hashem created the world. And that you should also create the world. Maybe we're not asking that from you. But Ben Yair is saying another thing. Hashem is Mamsi Soylam means not only created the world, he makes the world accessible to you. Mamsi means he makes it accessible to you. Hashem did not just create a world, he made it accessible. Right? You know, there's everything in the world that you've already created for a person to live. Right? You have minerals and you have water and you have air and it rains when it's supposed to rain. And there are things growing. So Hashem not only created the world, but he made the world accessible. It's like it's been said many times, Hashem created a beautiful world. It's man that destroys it. It's man that destroys it. Hashem created a beautiful world. So Hashem was Mamsi Soilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the world accessible. Your obligation is also to make the world accessible, to make it easier for others around you also. Make your contribution in the world for society. And as Rav Dessler says, and we pointed it out, different opportunities. That's in the world there are all types of different types of people. In the world there are givers, and in the world there are people who are takers. There are people who give all the time, and there are people who take all the time. And then there are people half and half. They give sometimes and they take sometimes. But there are people who are always only on the take. They don't give. So the hallmark of being a Yid, Rav Dessler said, one of the hallmarks of being a Yid is to be a giver, to be a noisin, not to be a noitel, not to be a taker. That's one of the fundamentals of being a Yid, to be a giver, not to be a taker. So Shamsul for Hirsch once said, when the Pesuk says, Lo yiva rosha v'lo yishalem, a person who borrows money does not pay his rosha. It's a Pesuk. Lo yiva rosha v'lo yishalem, a person who borrows does not pay, he's considered to be a rosha. So I've heard said it's not only referring to borrowing money. The truth is, whatever you benefit from this world, it's on loan. In other words, you also have an obligation, whatever you're benefiting, to give back to this world. You are benefiting and absorbing the contribution that other people have made, Why does somebody have to make it for your benefit? Why? The answer, because society is expected, I give what I can, my talents, and not you give your talents. But then there are people who just take and take. It's you're borrowing without paying back. That's also called a Rosh. Loiv Rosh Hashanah means that people live in a society, they're always taking, and they're never paying back. They're not making a contribution to society. Because what you're taking is really on loan. You're also a Loiv. That's called another example of Loiv Rosh the Loiv Yishalim. So Kaponim, so that is another explanation. Mahu Mamsi Soil Makadish Baruch, who makes the world accessible, after Tamsiyana Vitekemena. You also should make the world available to others and maintain it. The Tachpois Vitirtsikolodom, make sure that other people, right, that other people see that other people, you know, are able to be comfortable. See to it that you make a contribution that other people should be merutzah, should be able to have as much as possible comfort in this world, as far as from your end of it, to do your chelik. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rasim. Okay, so this is, now for now, let's go to the Shira Boy side, and think we're almost out of time because quite a bit of the Shira. We always have too much optimism here. Alright, let's take a look. The first item that we have over here, number one, again, the line of Rabbeinu Yoina was, it was the first line of Rabbeinu Yoina that we had in Oyster Zayin, Shara Avoida, Valaderech Hazeh, He Avoides Akrabonis, Avoides Atila. Okay? So the first item we have is from Varon Kotlin, Sefer Mishnah Sivan, Varon Kotlin, Chelik Dalet. And Omer Memches, Rabban says as follows. Bina Yisoid Atfila, right? The Yisoid of davening is Nidrish Mak Posuk. It comes from the Posuk, it says, Ula Ovdei B'chol Avchem, serve Hashem with all your heart. How do you know that means davening? How do you know that word? Serve Hashem with all your heart. How do you know it means davening? So, the Gemara Darshan says, Ezi Avodah Shebelev. Avodah is with your hands, right? What kind of a service is with your heart? That's davening. Because davening is Avodah Shebelev. And so on. Go to the next paragraph, and it goes on to explain. If davening is called an avodah, it means it's not just saying words. An avodah means it's an avodah. It's work. It's effort. So what kind of effort is there really in davening if it's only words? So Rabbi Chaim, so Rabbi Kotler brings Rabbi Chaim the Nefesh Chaim. Klabiyah ben Nefesh Chaim. Rabbi Chaim Velozhin already explained this. Mai Marakosu. Ulovdei b'chol avavchem. Haine, sheyir kol liboy meyuched la'avodas b'roi. When you daven, you have to dedicate your heart to be focused totally to serving Hashem. When you're davening, there's no business, there's no office, there's no this, there's no that, there's no vacation. When you're davening, you're focusing on one thing. All the other things have been are now out. Rak b'avodas atzilut. That's what it means. Ulovdei b'chol avavchem. Give Hashem your entire heart. And what does it mean, b'chol nafshechem? Give Hashem your whole nefesh. Nefesh means what you usually want. For instance, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Ultimately, you have to surrender your own will to the rotzon of Hashem. That's the b'chol nafshechem. Nafshechem means she'evatel es kol ritzonos el Hashem. It's not important what you want. What's important is to do what Hashem wants. She'kei motzin, we see the word nefesh means to want. We find she'tfilah is called shvichas ha'nefesh. Pouring your neshama. What does it mean, pouring your neshama? Pouring your neshama, nefesh really means, as we find, brings the posuk, by the way, we find Chana said to Eli, Chana, the mother of Shmuel, she says to Eli, the esh poich is napshi lifnei Hashem. I poured my neshama before. You see, so davening is referred to shvichas ha-nefesh, shvichas ha-nefesh. Nefesh means rotzen. Nefesh, loosely translated, means will. What's the raya? Avraham Avinu, when he went, right, to secure a kever for Sarah, what does he find? He goes over to the Bnei Ches, and he says the following lashon: Im yesh es nafshechem, ligba es meisi. What does it mean, yesh es nafshechem? If you find it within your rotzen, nafshechem is your rotzen, your will. Nefesh is rotzen, k'mo shekosov, as it says, im yesh es nafshechem, shemashmoy, which it means over there, im ritzonchem mekach. So tefillah means, davening means, in a nutshell, tefillah is mashmausa, his batlus mochletes lifna boire. Tefillah means is that you're totally mevatlus before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How? Because you understand that there's nothing else can exist without Hashem. It's all that Hashem wants it. There's no other power. There's no other power. Mitoch hakor beruah, because you have a clear understanding. You recognize she ain't shum koyach ba'olam milvado yizbarach. There's no other koyach besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why, being that you understand, there's no other koyach besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Bishum kach, therefore, mevatlu kol resonoisov resonoil yizbarach. So that is, boys, that is the avodah shebalev. The avodah shebalev is avodah b'chol nefesh. Because when you daven, all your resonus go away. All your resonus be one rotzen. Rotzen Hashem. Love b'chol avavchem. When you daven, which means what you're thinking about, push everything aside. Nothing exists except now that you're standing before Kodesh Baruch Hu, in fact, that you are davening. So there was a, we have here the second item, let's go to the second item still a little bit. And we have over here from Rebel Favarsky. Rebel Favarsky is Rosh Yeshiva Ponovich. His father was a previous Rosh Yeshiva, David Favarsky. So they, at the 50 years of Ponovich, they brought out a Koivis. It was a periodical. It was called Koivis Yachikala, and the theme of the Yachikala that they were learning at that was Sukkah. So each of the Rosh Yeshivas and others put in articles regarding different situations. So there's an article on Hoshana Rabbah from Rebel Favarsky from Rosh Yeshiva. So we took out a little bit of snippets, just a few lines of it. And he, said, and he was a Talmud, by the way. Who was the Mashgiach of Ponovich? He was a Bessler. So Bel Provatsky, he writes and he mentions, yes, he was a Talmud of Rav Dessler, because Rav Dessler was a Mashgiach. When he was growing up, Rav Dessler was a Mashgiach. So he points out, he brings here down from Rav Dessler, how Rav Dessler, he says, identified, or the way he said, interpreted, what tefillah is all about. And he said the following, he brings here, Ukvah HaYerogel, he says, Mayri V'Rabi HaGroin Rav Eliezer Dessler, Sechus Tanakul Vrocha, Lefar Shlomo. Rav Dessler said, if you really think about it, all the davening, ki kol ha-tfilu shetiknu chazal, are in the main for spiritual gain. The main of the, all the davening, all the bakoshes, all the things that we ask for in the main are in yonim ruchnias. Is it the kachem gam kol tfilu shemon esra shol kol yom ois hashona? This is the shemon esra that we say throughout the year, certainly on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you know, Rosh Hashanah we say, Meloicha kol olam kuloi, Rabbani Shalom, right, reign over us. We accept your malchus over us. That's for sure. We're talking about something spiritual. But he said, but even the regular Shemoneh Esrei. Now you say, what do you mean? Regular Shemoneh Esrei talks about a lot of gashmias, right? It talks about refuah. It talks about brocha, brochalein. Talks about panosa and so on and so forth. So he says, look what he says. The afat filis va'brocha shenirois lechayve, which appear on the surface in yonam heim alvorim gashmiim, ain't ador became. All the tefillahs that appear to be right. Gashmizik things, material things, in reality it's not so. The root of all of them, the Shoshom Hu Madregis Ruchnias. The Bakosh is on the Kalim, Shashem Izborach Yazrenu, the Yitan Lonu Kalim, Matsrichim Boilam Azel Avodishem Zborach. Not quite simply. We want to serve Hashem. But to serve Hashem, you have to have Kalim. What are the Kalim? I need Refuah. I need Panosa. So the truth is, the Gashmi, the Gebrochet that we're asking are really Kalim for Ruchnias. So at the end of the day, it's all Ruchnias. The end of the day, it's all of the Bakoshas on the Shemnez is Ruchnias. But in order to be able to serve Hashem, Ruchnias, right, to serve Hashem, you have to have Kalim. If a person's not healthy, he can't serve Hashem. If a person's not Panosa, he can't serve Hashem. So the Baruch Aloino, yeah, give us Baruch Rafaino, give us Rafua, and so on. All of these are only Kalim vehicles to serve Hashem. So at the end of the day, what is the entire Shemnez? It's Ruchnias. Because even the Gashmi is for the sake of Ruchnias, so pointed out Rav Dessler. The Bakosh is on the Kalim, as he said. Shashem is Baruch again. Yazrein Hashem should help us. V'itel on the Kalim, Matzrichim Boilam Hazeh. Give us the Kalim that we need on this world, Avodas Hashem. What are the Kalim? The Heim, Briyas, Haguf, HaNefesh. We have to have health, right? Healthy Nishome, healthy Guf. V'chol Tzorchei Odom, we have to have the Panos of the knees, the Kaimoi. V'yidezeh, he says, Nekel Lonu, Lavdes Hashem is Baruch. It becomes easier for us, he says, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bitoch menuchas ha-nefesh, ulehesu metonah, to remove all the tirdis of oilam hazeh. And that is basically said, that is the ikur ha-tfilah. So I want to show you basically in that same vein, go down to number 3, a few lines of the Ramban and Parshas Vos Chanan. Happened to bring it down from a sefer called Megid Shemaim, so important, Omid Kupay, but he brings down, essentially, the Ramban and Parshas Vos Chanan. Well, let's take a look. Umahu gedra avoydis Hashem, bebchines eved ladoine. We serve Hashem like an eved serves his master. Ramban explains, what does it mean, serve Hashem like an eved serves his master? In what way? The Ramban explains on the Posik in Eschanan. The Posik says there in Dvorim Dalet, Yud Gimel says, Es Hashem lekecho tiro, fear Hashem, v'oisoi tavoit, u'bishmoi teshovei. Only swear in His name. Don't swear in any foreign gods and so on and so forth. The devil is showing me. This is what Ramban says. V'yeperish v'oisoi tavoit. Serve Hashem, he says, Ledatom Shitioloi Bechol Eis Ke Eved Akonu Hamishor. Imagine an Eved that is bought, when there was slavery around, right? An Eved that was bought and it serves his master. Tomid Sheoisom Lechis Rabbi Iker. In other words, when an Eved does even his own needs, these are secondary. An Eved has to eat, he has to live. An Eved has to sleep. But all that the Eved does for his needs are secondary. Because his main existence is to serve his master. So even when he's not serving his master, he's tending to his own needs. These are secondary needs to allow him to be able to better serve his master. That's what an Eved is. So an Eved is means that his own needs are secondary to his master's needs. That's what an Eved Hashem means also. An Eved Hashem means that my own personal needs are secondary, says the Rambam. And he goes on further. It reaches a point, where Chazal said, so whatever you do, even your personal needs that your body needs, it should be l'shem avodas hakel, should be to serve Hashem. Yoichal, you eat, the yoshin, you sleep, the yazit srochov, use the facilities, whatever you do, kedekim aguf, in order to sustain the goof, whatever you do to sustain the goof, it's lava, it is Hashem. And so on and so forth. That is the situation. So this is the whole idea. So I want to point out, look at number five, Rabbi Yisai. I'll show you Shtikl Sasemis. We took all four lines, the Sasemis and Pasha Semar. We're not prefacing the following situation. We know that there's a hierarchy. There's a Kohen, and there's a Levi, and there's a Yisrael. A Kohen, of course, has a higher level of Kedusha. A Kohen, by the way, is given Truma. Truma is what you separate, of course, and has Kedusha. Only a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma. A Yisrael, by the way, a Yisrael could be, by the way, a Tzadik Hador, the greatest Tzadik of the generation, he's not allowed to eat Truma. A simple Kohen can eat Truma. You got it? A simple Kohen, by the way, he's only a Kohen by accident of birth. He happened to be born a Kohen. He is a Kohen who is allowed to eat Truma. The holiest Yisrael in the world, it could be a Satmar Rebbe, it could be Chofetz Chaim, happened to be a Kohen, by the way. Chazon Ish, you can pick anybody you want. You can pick Baal Shem Tov, you can pick any tzaddik in the world. He's not allowed to eat Truma. A simple Kohen can. So now, a Yisrael, no matter how great he is, cannot eat Truma. A Kohen buys an Eved, right? An Eved Kenani, he's allowed to eat Truma. A Kohen, by the way, owns an animal, he can feed the animal Truma. How do you understand that? An animal of a Kohen can eat Truma, an Eved of a Kohen, and the greatest Tzaddik, who is a Yisroel, who is in a higher level than all of these, he can't eat Truma. Why is that? Why is that the Eved of a Kohen could eat Truma? Why is that the animal of a Kohen? Look at the Sasemis, four lines. In the Pasuk it says, V'koin k'yikne nefesh. When a Kohen buys a nefesh, let's say he buys an Eved. He buys a nefesh. Kinyan tasboi, right? He uses his money and he buys an Eved. To our halach is that the Eved is allowed to eat Truma. Says the Sasemis, V'zeh Pele. Pasha Semer is the Sasemis. V'zeh Dover Pele. K'akodesh of Yisrael, the holiest among the Yidin, lo yoichal Truma. And Eved Kohen, and even a behemoth Kohen, oichlem b'truma. You know why? Poshet, he says. Bishum she'eved botel legamre eisel ho'odom oichel balachmoy. You know what the Sema says? You know why an Eved Kohen can eat Truma? The definition of an Eved is he has no identity. He's botel to the Kohen. The Kohen can eat Truma for sure, he's a Kohen. An Eved has no identity. He's totally botel to his master. The behem of a Kohen, right, who's owned by the Kohen, becomes botel, doesn't have its own identity. So it's not a behemoth eating Truma. It's not an Eved eating Truma. They don't have their own identity. They're identified as being part of the Kohen, an extension of the Kohen. A Yisrael, on the other hand, is a regular human being. He's not an Eved. He's not an Eved. He has his identity. About his identity. He's a Yisrael. He's the biggest tzaddik, but he's not a Kohen. An Eved of a Kohen is not an Eved of a Kohen. He's bottled totally to the Kohen. He has no identity. He's an Eved. So the Baal HaMusar say, maybe you learn from this what an Eved Hashem should be. An Eved Hashem means that you lose your personal identity in the sense of your own needs, and whatever it is all geared in that is to serve Hashem. from the Sassamish, what an Eved means. An Eved means is you're bottled to the Kohen, so an Eved Hashem also means that should be the avoid of a person, if you can bottle to a Kohen. Okay, we conclude with the following, because we had Rabbeinu Yoina, boys, so because stop here. We had Rabbeinu Yoina, we had that just like to emulate Hashem, Hashem is Mamsi soil, and He makes the world accessible to people. You also should make the world available. So I had an opportunity when we mentioned there was a situation, let me mention it, regarding a chosan and a kala, regarding the chosan and the kala that obviously were engaged to get married, and the situation turned out to be that the kala found out that the chosan was diagnosed with a very serious machla, very serious illness. And as a result of that illness, the family of the kala clearly wanted to break the shidduch, and by right, this would be a logical thing to happen. It's not unusual if such a thing would happen. It's a very tragic situation. And so the two parents were just about ready to agree to break the shidduch. The chosan seriously ill. By the best of circumstances, they have to undergo many, many treatments, and who knows, even if that would help or not. So it's a very, very risky situation. So before the parents came to a conclusion, so the Chosan Kala said, we also have something to say about the matter. And the Kala said, listen, he says, it's me, it's all about my life. I don't think at this particular time would be the right thing, he says, to break the shidduch. It's enough that he is going to have to undergo this terrible situation that he's in with all the treatments. On top of everything else, he's ready to get, we're ready to get married, and to give him such an extra blow and a burden that he also lost the kala that he expects. And who knows, he says, maybe the fact that he was diagnosed after we became engaged, maybe that's what Hashem wants. So idealistically, the kala said, as far as I'm concerned, I want to get married. I don't want to do this to him. And the chosan, very interestingly, took the other side. He says, it's not fair to her. Interesting. Very unusual. He says, not fair to her. He says, she's starting out a new life. Who knows what's going to be with his situation? And to start out life, start a new life, get married, and start to build a home with this terrible, terrible situation, predicament, it's not fair to her. So here the chosan wants to break the shidduch, and the kala says no. So he went to one of the rebbes, and we got the Ger Rebbe, and the Ger Rebbe says he doesn't want to take the achrayas of the shaila. He said, go ask somebody else. Then went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And Reb Chaim says, in my opinion, they should do the shidduch. They did the shidduch. Not only that, at the chasana, Reb Chaim himself showed up at the wedding, which is something very rare. Reb Chaim does not go to weddings. Come on. I think even by family weddings, he stays like a half an hour or so. I don't know. It's a very short time. And he went to this wedding, and he was mamish he was like the father of the chosan kala or something. He danced with the chosan. He stayed an extra amount of time. It was something very, very unusual. On the way back, if anybody was to Reb Chaim, Reb Mordechai Mann is one of his gaboyim there. Reb Mordechai says, he says, Rebbe says, I never question, he says, your decision, he says, but on what basis did you say that they should get married? I mean, under such a situation here. So Chaim says, take out a medrash, and takes out a medrash in Bereshis. And the medrash in Bereshis tells us the Maisa, that you know the mighty king Alexander the Great, who's known Alexander Mogden, right? He heard that there was a king in the Hore Choshech somewhere very far away, a small king, but he heard great things about him, that he's very, very bright, very smart. So the medrash tells us, Alexander Mogden says, he takes on to Raja, says, I'd like to go pay a visit to this king. It's called in the Melech Katsia. That was the name of the kingdom. He was a melech over a place called Katsia. I want to visit Melech Katsia. He's an unknown, a virtually unknown, nobody heard of him, nobody even knows where he is. Alexander happened to hear about him, and he heard about the man's, I'd like to meet him. So finally, after many, many days, he manages to find the place, and the king was very surprised. It's Melech Katsia. He says, I'm a small-time king, he says. If it's money that you need, there's no money that I can give you that was, you have all the money in the world. I have nothing. There's nothing, there's no minerals, there's nothing in my little land, my little country that I can give you that you don't have. What's this honor? Why do it to me that you've come to visit me? And Alexander said, I heard that you have very, very keen judgment when there are disputes. And you know how to adjudicate difficult situations. You know how to judge very fairly. And as they were talking, two people came in with a dispute. The medrash tells the story. What was the dispute? One sold a field, let's call them Reuven, sold a field to Shimon, right? Shimon buys a field, he begins digging and he finds a treasure. Who does the treasure belong to? Shimon, who bought it, says, the treasure does not belong to me. I only bought a field. The fact there's a treasure in there, I didn't buy that. He didn't know that there was a treasure. I think the treasure belongs to Reuven, the seller. And Reuven is telling him, no, I sold it fair and square, whatever's inside. It belongs to the treasure, belongs. Very unusual type of a machlokes. Usually everybody says it belongs to me, and he says it belongs to me. He says, no, it belongs to you, it belongs to you. So Alexander was waiting to hear, how's he going to judge it? The seller says the treasure belongs to the buyer, and the buyer says, no, this treasure belongs to the seller. So Melech Katsia asked Reuven, he says, Reuven, he says, do you have a son? Yeah. Do you have a daughter? Let them get married and give the treasure to both of them. Alexander was standing by and said, looking surprised. And the king of Katsia says to Alexander, what would you do? Me? I'd kill them both and take the treasure for myself. Adkan the Medrash. This is the Medrash. So Chaim says, why did Chazal tell us the story? What do we learn from that story? Chazal telling us the story. Is it important for me to know that Alexander went to visit Melech Katsia? Why do I have to know that? What is being taught from this? Rav Chaim says, you know what you learn from this Medrash? When you have two people, and each one's ready to be mevater for the other, to give up to the other. This one says, no, you should have it. And the other says, then no one loses at the end. They both stand to gain. That's what you learn. When people are ready to give of themselves for others, and the other one to the other, and this one to the other, at the end, you don't lose. I saw here a chos and a kalah. This one was worried more about, and she was worried more about him. They will not lose. That's the bracha verse. That's the lesson that we have in that. Mamsi soilu.